Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Mr. Wonderful here. Glad to be with you, as always. My website is www.jbsba.com, and I'm excited about having Beverly Imenebo back on the show with us. Beverly has been with us many times before over the years. She's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's the author of Talk Is Not Cheap. She's the president, the very prestigious assignment, ladies and gentlemen. This is not her day job, although it probably seems like it this year. She's currently this year's president of the National Association of Women Business Owners. She is our good friend. Beverly, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be with you again.
It's good to have you back, as always. Beverly, you've got some travels coming up. You're going to be in Morocco next month?
Next week, I leave for Morocco for a week, yes.
And then after that, you're going to be in Belarus?
Yes, in the middle of May, I go to Belarus. Two unusual places to go for business.
You've got to promise to come back after each one of those trips and tell us what you found there. We need to get a travel report, a travelogue of what you found there, because I know you're going to be talking to some people who are small business owners while you're over there. And although that's not the main reason you're going, what are you going to be doing in Morocco?
In Morocco, there is a World Congress of presidents of women business owner organizations from 61 countries around the world.
See, this is starting to get a little scary, Beverly.
We're getting organized.
I mean, that's exactly right. Not only is there a proliferation, folks, there's a proliferation of women organizations, but now they're getting together in world congresses. This is getting out of hand, Beverly. I'm starting to break out into a cold sweat here.
You guys started it.
I don't know. And then what are you going to do in Belarus?
In Belarus, I've been invited by the State Department of Belarus to come and speak to a Congress of professionals. And then I will be spending time throughout the week having conversations with women entrepreneurs or women who are wanting to go into entrepreneurship.
Well, I want you to come back after the Morocco thing and tell the ladies what you learned and what you did. And I want you to come back and tell the guys so we can know what you ladies are up to.
What we're up to.
That's right. And then after Belarus, I want you to come back especially and tell us about what you met over there, with the people that you met and what they're doing over there, because we're very much interested, I certainly am, and I think other people are too, in these developing countries and how what they're doing to come into the 21st century.
Right.
And to join the world's marketplaces.
Right. This is my third developing country. Well, a couple of them, I guess, have been more advanced than developing. But to sit down with brand new, business owners in these countries that are certainly behind the United States, it is an eye opener. It truly
is. Well, and this is something that, and I'm proud of you for doing this, Beverly. I'm proud of you for being the kind of person that the Belarus government would want to come over and speak to them. And folks, this tracks perfectly with what you've heard me say many times before. No chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Only the best for my audience. And Beverly certainly fits that profile. Beverly, let's talk about leadership, men and women leadership. Or I should say men and women as leaders. What's on your mind today with regard to leadership?
Well, so many times when we think about leadership and the qualities of leadership, we think about, what's in their head. What strengths does a person require in order to be a leader? And I think, in part, that we need to look into the heart of the leader. A leader is someone. It's a volunteer. It's someone. You may have a job title. You may be the owner of your business. That doesn't automatically make you a leader, because people go to a leader that they elect their own leader, someone that they want to follow. And sometimes that can cause tremendous you know, concerns within a company because they're following someone you may not want them to follow.
One of the best definitions of a leader I ever heard was from a mentor of mine who said, leaders are people who have found other people who will follow them.
Yes. Yes.
Because that's pretty basic and elemental, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And then you can get into all the reasons why they're following that person. Mm-hmm. But before you can be a leader, you actually have to have somebody who will follow you.
Right. And I think one of those qualities that people will follow you is that you have a passion. And most entrepreneurs have a passion when they first open their business.
Mm-hmm.
Then often in the day-to-day run of things where they're striving to get ahead, they lose that passion.
I want to talk some more about that passion right after these messages. We're going to be right back with our good friend Beverly Inmanebel, and we're going to talk about leadership by both men and women. Stay with us. We'll be right back. 2010. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and Beverly Inmanebel is our guest and our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's the author of Talk Is Not Cheap, among other books. Beverly, give us your website, please.
www.talklisten.com.
And they can find out more about Talk Is Not Cheap and the other books on your website, can't they? And the other things that you do when you're not gallivanting around the world.
That's right. And they can also get a copy of our free electronic newsletter, which has a different topic each month.
I appreciate that. I'm a happy subscriber of that myself, folks, and I certainly encourage you to do that, to subscribe. And I appreciate, Beverly, you making it available free to my audience. Okay, we're talking about leadership. But I tell you what, before we go with it any further, I want you to tell us just a little tiny bit about NABO.
NABO is the National Association of Women Business Owners. We are 30 years old this year, so we have a big celebration in Orlando, Florida.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you, June 9 through 11. And NABO is the only dues-based organization that accepts women business owners from every industry possible, any size of business. You must have a business for 2 years to be a full-fledged voting member, but we accept emerging business owners.
How many members you got?
Oh, I don't know. We have 81 chapters. The numbers keep rolling in.
Yeah.
So we have approximately 8,000 members.
You want to give us the website?
Yes, that's www.nawbo.org.
All right. So, ladies, you can check that out. And, guys, go there to find out what these ladies are up to. And Beverly, as I mentioned earlier, is the president this year of that fine organization. And I have known many presidents of NABO over the years. And I tease Beverly about it, but it is a great organization. They do a lot of good things for women in the marketplace. Okay, let's get back to leadership, Beverly. You were talking to us about we were talking about the qualities of a leader and what it takes to be a leader. You actually, as I said, you actually have to find somebody who will follow you. And we were talking about what is it that makes people want to follow you. Trust has got to be paramount, doesn't it?
They have to trust you. And I think trust comes a lot from what I would call integrity. You know, integrity is what I used to tell my children. Integrity is what you do when nobody knows you're doing it. Mm. But usually when nobody knows you're doing it, somebody might know that you're doing it, or they might find out. And so integrity...
My mentors taught me more when they didn't know they were teaching me than when they thought they were teaching me.
Oh, and so do our children. Yeah. Our children learn not by what we say, but you know what they catch us doing when they think we don't know that they're watching. So I think integrity and trust have a lot that go together. Vanessa Redgrave once said something that I think is so applicable for any business owner who's at least 5 years old in business, and she said, integrity is so perishable in the summer months of success. You know, in the beginning, We're striving to get everyone's trust, whether we're running a company or an organization. And after a while, we have obtained that trust, and it's so easy to say, well, I could change suppliers. That's not quite as good of a grade of material, but, you know, nobody will really know. When we start making decisions like that, we so easily can lose our own integrity and lose the trust of other people, mm-hmm. and we will not be able to lead them. So the more successful we get, the more careful, I think.
Is any of this different for men than it is for women?
As far as trust and integrity?
Any of the leadership aspects, are any of them easier for women, say, than for men or vice versa?
I think that women tend to share more of their failures with each other. And I think men tend to share more just of the successes. And so, you know, how that plays into leadership, it depends upon the type of leader that you might be attracted to. So women can make themselves a little more vulnerable because they will openly talk about a mistake that they made or you know, something that they're trying to do and it's not working.
Which works okay if they're leading women. But if they're leading men, that's not something that makes men, it's not that men don't recognize that we all make mistakes. It's just like you say, I mean, men are probably too likely to not admit a mistake, but I think ladies might be a little too quick. And not only that, but to actually say something derogatory about themselves.
So that means that when we are leading, and we are leading both genders, there needs to be a balance of what you share and with whom you share it.
Well, one of the things I think it means, especially for ladies, but guys too in a way, and that is that if you're going to talk about your shortcomings, you probably should sleep on it and find a positive and a productive way to come clean the next day. What do you think?
I think that's a good idea, and I also think that women can improve upon talking about their successes. I've been going around the country, well, around the world, but even, let's just talk about the United States, around the country, talking to women business owners, and when I ask the audiences, how many of you have applied for a national award? In a room of 200 people, there'll maybe be 3-4 hands.
Mm-hmm.
See, women are not... They're not saying, yes, I am successful, or yes, I've done something. Now, if someone nominates them, they're fine. But we are not standing up as much as the guy saying, hey, look at me. I've done this.
One of my good friends on the Brain Trust, a lady, was exasperated one day when she came on the show and because of something her husband had done. And she said, men are just the best at getting their needs met. And so it was so funny. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Ladies, is it true? Tim Till, stay with us.
Well, I was rolling down the road in some cold blue steel.
We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Beverly in Medieval. Beverly, you guess whose birthday this is today?
Is this your birthday?
No, it's not my birthday. It's Haley Mills' birthday.
Haley Mills.
Remember her from Pollyanna?
I do. Happy birthday, Haley Mills.
Hey, listen, when I was a little bitty guy, I saw the movie Pollyanna, and I fell in love. She was my first true love. I was just a little bitty guy. I was probably not more than 10 years old.
You fell hard.
I fell head over heels in love with her. I thought she was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen in my life. And then one day I was reading in the parade, and it was a story about her. And I thought, oh wow, now I've got a picture of her. I can pin up or something. And I was crestfallen, Beverly. You know why?
Why?
Because I found out she was older than me.
Well, older women, it's coming in fashion now, but you're married.
Beverly, for a 10-year-old, that just can't be. You just can't have that as a 10-year-old. I'll just tell you that I still was in love with her, but it was, because, see, I had it in my mind that we would be married one day. I was going to meet her. I was going to find her and meet her. Anyway, happy birthday, Haley
Mills.
See,
you were choosing a woman as a leader at the age of 10.
Well, but the thing is, this, and folks, in case you don't, you can't appreciate, you know, the fact that I am the king of Segway, Beverly. What about leaders and the age differences, and especially if the lady is, you know, maybe younger than the guys? You know, this would go in leadership. The problem, I think, would be the other way. Right?
Well, I think that age is a challenge when we are being asked to follow someone younger than us. I think we have to get beyond the age, and that's especially the people who are doing the following, because you're going to be looking for the characteristics, the attributes that you look for in a leader. And certainly, you know, wisdom is one of those, and many times we think if a person hasn't had as many life experiences as we have, that, you know, maybe they're a little short on that wonderful trait called wisdom. There are many other attributes that we look for.
Isn't part of the value of leadership and the keys to being successful as a leader is to recognize that all parties have something to contribute, including the leader, and that the leader doesn't know everything, and that what we have to do is put all these great minds together and get the most out of all of them? Isn't that one of the main things the leader should pay attention to know when they should be dominant and say, you know what, this is what we need to do, and to know when to sort of back off and let other people move up the line, so to speak?
I think the best leaders are ones where the followers think it's their idea. You know, many times when I'm working with my clients doing one-on-one coaching, you know, they'll come back and, you know, so-and-so is kind of taking this idea and running with it. And I say, well, do you care who gets credit? You know, that's a very important question. And if they say, no, I just want it done, I say, then you've done a terrific job leading the project. Because it's getting done, and it's getting done with energy, because that individual has bought into it so much they think they own it. That's great. So
I call that Blessing Game's first law of aggregation.
Aggregation.
And what that means is I learned this a long time ago. The people who are the most outrageously successful are the ones who aggregate the success of the people around them. They don't take any of the credit. They don't get any of they don't really want any of the credit. They want other people to get credit for doing a great job, but they aggregate all of that success. And if you're the owner of your company and these people work for you, you're going to get the result of all their success. But the first thing is you subordinate yourself to their success.
That's right. And celebrate with them. Don't just and I remember once doing something. I was much younger. This was before I owned my business, and I saw my boss's face just light up with the biggest smile, and I thought, wow, this is great. I mean, I remember, you know, that's those are the moments that you see into the heart of a leader and realize that leader is celebrating because you have succeeded.
Beverly, I've got 30 seconds. Last thoughts on leadership.
Have a sense of humor. Don't take yourself too seriously. If it's going to make a good story one day, go ahead and laugh now.
Laugh at yourself.
Don't take yourself, you know, I mean, lighten up just a little bit. Take business seriously, but don't take yourself so seriously.
We're not going to get out alive, are we?
No, we're not.
I don't think we're going to do that. Hey, Beverly, give us your website one more time.
It's www.talklisten.com. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for being here. Good job, and good luck on your two trips. We can't wait to hear how things turn out when you get back.
I'll do that.
See you. Beverly M. Maniba, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.